Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 is our text. I want you to catch now the first word of our scripture. Don't overlook it. It would be easy to do. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. I'm telling you, Ardenworth doing that well. That crowd out there this morning. Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a sixth day. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Let us pray. Oh God, let us hear now that which is always present, but so often, so very often, too often, it gets drowned out by the noise, voices, preoccupations of life. Let us hear you. In the name of our Master, we pray. Amen. A couple's elementary age young son was having significant struggle with his schoolwork. His father's response had always been that of being harsh and critical. Finally, his wife convinced him to try another strategy, that of affirmation, encouragement, focusing on the positives. The boy brought home his next report card. The father opened it. He had received 2 D's and 4 F's. The father looked at it, looked back at the boy, and he said, son, one thing I know, grades like that, you sure ain't cheating. Although that was perhaps not the best response, he was trying. And the mother is certainly to be commended for recognizing the need for the son to be affirmed. That need is in all of us. There from the very beginning, and you know and I know, that children often reveal to us the yearnings and desires of every human heart, regardless of our age. When my daughter was about 4 years old, one day I called her over and I said, sweetheart, look at me. I said, I think you are smart, you're kind, you're funny, and you're pretty, and I like you. She looked at me momentarily, very thoughtfully, and then smiled and said, say that again, Daddy. That need is there in every human heart from the beginning to the end, from cradle to the grave. It never goes away. Ken Marley lives in a little town in Mississippi called It. It, Mississippi. You go into town, there's a sign that says, this is it. You go a few blocks out of town and there's another sign that says, that was it. Ken's grandfather lives there. Every Thursday, his grandfather drives 20 miles to Hazelhurst, Mississippi, to go to Walmart to get a free cup of coffee. One day Ken said, "Granddaddy, why do you drive 40 miles round trip to go to Walmart to get a cup of coffee?" And his grandfather said, "Son, it's not the coffee." He said, "When I go there, they shake me my hand. They call me by my name. And there they think I'm somebody. What's at the core of this quest? What is it that all of us are really looking for?" The answer to that question lies in the text this morning in Genesis. It goes all the way back to the beginning in God's design for creation. And that design was this: to make humankind in His image. The theological term there is imago Dei. It's Latin for "in the image of God." And that's what God's intention was, to make us in His image. Now that phrase is pregnant with meaning. It means in part that this God, who is all kind, all good, all loving, has placed in us something He has not placed in any else of His creation. This God, who cannot create anything bad, has made mankind the crown of His creation. In us, at the moment of creation, at the moment of conception, God places a part of Himself. And therefore, since God is at our core, this God who is good is at our core, and therefore at our core, you and I are good. Say that again. At our core lives God. And this God who is all good lives there, and therefore we are all good at the core. Upon the creation of the land and the earth and the seas and the heavens and all the creeping things, after each one of those, it said, "And it was good." And then it would say, "And God created, and it was very good. And God created, and it was very good. And God created, and it was very good." But when He comes to creating us, there's a transition there. He doesn't say, "And God created." It says, "Then God created." Then everything took a different turn. A crescendo was about to happen. The final act, the consummation of the very best, is about to take place. A drum roll happened, and God said, "Everybody watch, because I'm about to do my very best. Pay attention." And then He said, "And God created man." And He did not say, "And it was good." He said, "It is very good." Now the Hebrew language in Genesis there is very childlike. It's primal. It's written as if it were a child. God is saying, "I cannot express this any better than speaking like a child who has made something, and a child takes great delight in it." And God looked down and said, "Look what I've done. Look, there's my sons there, my daughters. That's the best I've got. Oh, I like what I've done." If it was 1998 language, God would take a look and He'd say, "Yes." And the angels would be high-fiving each other in the background. And therein lies the answer to the core question that each of us have. Am I of any value? Do I have worth
And if I do, where does it come from? In the movie Saving Private Ryan, at the end, an old man is back in the cemetery there at Normandy. He fought there. And he's standing there looking at the graves of his comrades who fought and died on the beaches. And he is remembering their undaunted courage, how gallantly they fought. He relives all of the battle scenes with all their horrors and how they stood tall and they came together. He is feeling as he's standing there that unanswerable question that had haunted him all of his life. Why did I live and they died? He is remembering that feeling that has carried with him all of his life. That debt, that obligation that he would live his life, that it would be worthy of their loyalty, worthy of their courage, worthy of their sacrifice. All of this is cascading on his heart. And he stands there and his eyes fill with tears. And then he turns to his wife who's been behind him and he says to her, Tell me, I am a good person. That's the question of every human heart. Tell me, I'm a good person. After the early service this morning, someone caught me on the side and said, I can't believe you talk about that today. I spent 3 hours telling someone yesterday how I'd struggled all my life with being unworthy. It's a question we all have, and the Genesis answer is just this. At the core, you are good because God lives at your core and God is all good. Now, the problem comes in when we sin. Which each of us begins at some point in childhood. When we know the difference from right and wrong, we know the difference from what God wants and what we want. And we say to God in no uncertain terms, God, what you want really doesn't matter to me anymore. Especially if it interferes with what I want. I'm going to live life on my own terms. And at that moment, sin enters our lives and it breaks that image of God that's in us. It fragments. And that's where Christ enters the new design. Christ, when we ask Him into our lives, forgives us of our sins and He puts that image of God that was broken back together. And there's not even a shadow of a crack. It's completely whole again. Jesus comes in and He recreates that initial creation and makes us pure once again. And He says to us, my child, you are as you were in the beginning. At the core, you are good again. Somehow we have trouble really believing that, particularly at different junctures in our lives with our sense about ourselves as it ebbs and flows. And the whole issue here is the issue of shame. The church has talked a lot through the ages about guilt, but it's been basically silent on shame, and shame is much more powerful than guilt, and the two are different. Guilt is a reaction to something I've done. Shame is a reaction to self. Guilt says what I had done was flawed. Shame says I am flawed. Guilt said, what I did was bad. Shame says, I am bad. Guilt says, what I did is not worthy. Shame says, I am not worthy. Charles Schulz's comic strip, Peanuts, sometimes portrays to us more about ourselves than we care to absorb. One day, Charlie Brown was lamenting to his friend, Linus, about his lifelong battle with insecurity, and he said, it goes all the way back to the beginning. When I was born and I stepped on the stage of history, they took one look at me and said, not right for the part. It's incredibly difficult at times to fend off these feelings of shame, overcome them, to believe the truth in God that we are indeed good. Good not because of what we have done. Boy, what a self-deception somehow that we think we can create our own goodness. We can't. We're good not because of what we've done, but because of what God has done. In fact, we can't hear that by ourselves. All so often, the message we see in the screen of our mind is our own face, and it says, not good enough, not worthy, you don't measure up. And that's why we need Christian community in dozens of ways of reinforcing that message of God one to another. Reinforcing that message of goodness. Because the world gives us the complete opposite message hundreds of times a day. In marketing, in our workplace, at school, wherever we go, the message continually is there. You're not quite good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not buffed enough. You don't live in quite big enough home. You don't have quite enough money. On and on, the message is that you've got to do something to get good. Hundreds of times a day, we are bombarded with that message. Therefore, we must speak the words of affirmation to each other to counter that, to say, hey, you do measure up. You are good. You really are. I have always believed that if we listen to the words of contemporary music, it will tell us where people in that era are. You just have to listen to them. It'll tell you of their joys and their sadnesses. It'll tell you of their celebrations and their excruciating failures. It will tell you what it's like to live in that world. I had this reinforced several weeks ago when I was traveling one day and I was surfing on my radio. And it stopped at a certain station and a song came on. I listened to the words of that song and I said, boy, that certainly reflects this message of the world. And evidently, there are millions of people who feel the same way because in its particular music category, it's number 5 on the charts this week. I checked Friday. Listen to its words and see if you don't agree. The title of it is, Don't Laugh at Me. I'm the little boy with glasses, the one they call the geek. I'm the little girl who never smiles because I've got braces on my teeth. And I know how it feels to cry myself to sleep. I'm that kid on every playground, the one who's always chosen last. A single teenage mother trying to overcome my past. You don't have to be my friend. Is it too much to ask? Don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. Don't get your pleasure from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all the same. One day we'll all have perfect wings. Don't laugh at me. I'm the cripple on the corner. You pass me on the street. I wouldn't be out here begging if I had enough to eat. And don't think I don't notice that our eyes never meet. I lost my wife and little boy. Someone crossed that yellow line. The day we laid them in the ground is the day I lost my mind. And right now I'm down to holding this little cardboard sign. Don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. Don't get your pleasure from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all the same. One day we'll all have perfect wings. Don't laugh at me. I'm thin, I'm fat, I'm short, I'm tall, I'm deaf, I'm blind. Hey, aren't we all? Don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. Don't get your pleasure from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all the same. One day we'll all have perfect wings. Don't laugh at me. Hundreds of times each day, the world laughs at people, and people inwardly feel, I don't measure up, I'm not good enough. Ray Craddock tells a very powerful story. Many years ago, he was a professor of preaching at Phillips Seminary in Oklahoma. Craddock is from Tennessee. He went back one summer with his wife to vacation in Gatlinburg. He says one night he was in a restaurant and he noticed an old white-haired man moving from table to table, talking with folks. Obviously, he was the owner of the restaurant. He started working his way toward Craddock. Craddock was obviously a private man looking for some solitude with his wife. But the old man made his way to his table. He came over and said, where are you folks from? Craddock said, Oklahoma. He said, Oklahoma, never been there. What do you do? And Craddock said, I teach homiletics, thinking that rather opaque word would throw him off. And the old man said, oh, you're a preacher, eh? So I've got a story you need to hear. And he pulled up a chair and Craddock said, oh, no, here he is. Everybody's got a preacher story, and the old man started. He said, I was born not far from here. And when I was born, my mother wasn't married. And the shame that fell on her fell on me. He said, my schoolmates had a name for me when I was a little boy, and it wasn't very nice. I hated recess because they taunted me with that name. At lunch, I would take my lunch and go in the woods and stand and eat by myself. I just couldn't bear to hear that word. See, but the worst times came on Saturday afternoon when we would go downtown. And I would pass people and see people across the street on the other side. And I could see their piercing eyes and I knew what they were thinking. Who is that boy? Who's the father of that illegitimate? I wonder who that boy is. He said, it was so painful. It cut me every time. Those were excruciating days. Then one day, a new preacher came to the community. I loved to hear him preach because he talked about grace. I'd always get there late to church and leave early because I was so afraid somebody would say, hey, what's a boy like you doing in a place like this? So one day, I got all absorbed in the message, and he said, before I realized the service was over, then there was a long line, and I was in the line when it stalled, and I thought, oh my. And then I felt a hand on my shoulder, and I turned around, and it was a preacher. And he said to me, boy, who are you? Who's your father? And he said, oh no, here it comes again, even from him. And then the preacher said, wait a minute, I know you. I recognize you. I see the resemblance. I know your father. Boy, you're a son of God. That's who you are. You have a great inheritance, boy. Go and live it. Go and claim that. And the man said, those five words changed my life. You are a son of God. For the first time, I realized I wasn't a nobody. For the first time, I realized that I did have worth and that I did have a father who cared for me. By this time, Craddock was all enthralled in the story. And he said, who are you? The man said, my name is Ben Hooker. And immediately Craddock remembered. Many years ago, his grandfather told him that on two occasions, the people of the state of Tennessee had elected an illegitimate for their governor, and his name was Ben Hooker. Five words changed his life. Five words that you may need to hear today that can move you back to where that sense of goodness really is. Listen, do you hear them? God is speaking them to you right now. Listen, you are a daughter of God. You are my son. Did you hear it? I hope so. I sure hope so.